Thankful for you being back again for the second service. We're going to continue with our thought for this morning, where Moses in Exodus 33, as he was praying to God before the end of the book of Exodus, as he was struggling to lead that congregation of over 3 million people up into the promised land, and he pleaded with God for three things. And one of the things that he asked for was to know his way. And Moses wanted to know God's way. We found over in Psalms 103 and verse 7, we read that he made known his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. We established this morning that there's two levels of learning, that there's one level, the observational level, and then there's one of a more intimate level. We know that Moses wanted to know more than just the observational level. He didn't want to know just what God did, his works, but he wanted to know how God did it. He wanted to know his character. He wanted to know God's ways more perfectly. And so we talked about this morning, the question is, you know, how did the children of Israel, who saw all those works and saw all those wonderful works that he did, how come they weren't more faithful? How come those works didn't convince them? Well, because when you just watch and observe somebody do something and you don't know how they do it, we know it's two different things. That for a long time we've watched people do something, we've observed people do it, but that necessarily doesn't make people faithful. We talk about children can grow up in a house, can watch their parents be faithful all their lives, can admire and respect the fact that they're faithful, but when it comes time for those same kids to be faithful themselves, how come just observing them doesn't translate to them being faithful? Because it's not only the observation, but you got to know his ways. You got to know why. Sometimes parents, we don't do a good job of training and teaching our kids why it is we're faithful, why we're doing this. We brought them to church, and we think it's enough. Just because we brought you to church, we've kept you in this environment, and we wonder why when they get old enough it doesn't stick and why they leave. Because we didn't really teach them why we was coming to church. Did we ever sit down and tell them why we was doing what we was doing, why we was doing the Lord, why the Lord's ways are good? That's what we need to be talking about, not the fact that we're doing it, not that they can just see the faithfulness, but we need to be teaching them why we're doing this, why the Lord's ways are good. So we look at some points that we made this morning, and then we have 3 points this afternoon. We understood we understand that to understand the ways of God will transform our lives. When we understand God's ways, it will transform our lives. We looked at Isaiah 2, where Isaiah prophesied that one day that all nations would flow, that come to that the Lord, the days of the mountain of the Lord will pass, that the house of God shall be established in the mountaintop and shall be exalted above all hills. All nations shall flow into it. Many people will come and say, let us go up into the mountain of the Lord, into the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. So Isaiah prophesied that one day that everybody would come into it, come into know God's ways and walk in his paths. And so we saw that understanding God's ways transform us. We understand that divine precepts and principles are brought into our lives, allow us to joy, peace, allow us to have joy, allow us to have direction, to have a deep growing relationship, and draw on our families together and become at peace with our heart. We also see that we needed to know that as Israel learned God's ways, that God begins to work in us. Just as Israel learned, as Moses learned, we know that from Philippians that God is doing a work in us. In Philippians 1 and 6, that he will continue that work that has begun in us, and he will continue to work in us until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:13, for God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey him and the power to do what you plead, to do what pleases him. Just on our own, we have to realize that on our own, we just don't have the desire to please him. We just don't have it. But God has to help us through his word to give us the desire to want to please him and the desire to want to obey him. And so that's something that God has to do to help us. He's the potter. We are the clay. God has to mold us and to shape us into what he wants us to be. Romans 12, 2, that we're not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. God is going to renew us. God is going to re-educate us. God is going to retrain us. Just like when you on one job and you come to a new job, they have to re-educate you. They have to retrain you on what to do on this job. You can't just come in and say, well, and see, we don't like it when you get on jobs and those people that are not successful, when they come in, well, this is what we used to do back over here. Brother Chris Mack, we always, you don't like people when they come like, this is what we did at Base X. And we look at them and say, you ain't at Base X no more. You at Base Z. This is how we do stuff over here. And so we don't like people when they come in. This is how we used to do it. This is what we did back. Well, you need to go back where you was at, and then you can keep doing that. But you over here now, this is how we do it over here. So when you in God, you have to know how God wants you to do it. You have to let God re-educate and retrain our minds. We need to know his ways and his guidance and his steps so that he can direct us in the right path. And so now we want to look at a few points before we close. We want to look at our ignorance of his ways requires us to learn his ways. We are not born into this world knowing God's ways, much less understanding anything about them. They're not included in our DNA, and they are completely alien to man's thinking. God says this about it in Isaiah's writing. Go to Isaiah 55, 8, and 9. Isaiah 55, 8, and 9. Our ignorance of his ways requires that we must learn his ways. Our ignorance requires that we learn his ways. Isaiah 8 and 9. Lord says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So God's thoughts and his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So our ignorance of his ways mean we need to sit down and take some time to learn his ways. When we come into Christ, we come knowing a lot of things. The ways of God are not one of them. You may know a lot when you come to Christ, but you don't know God's ways. You don't know what he wants. And so when we come into Christ, that's one of the things we're trying to do. Let me learn God's ways. Let me learn what he wants. Let me learn his character. Let me learn what the things of God. But here is how God does instruct us in those ways. He brings it out into our lives, as Isaiah would say, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. God wants us to know that he gives truth to us as we are able to assimilate it. God doesn't drop it on you all at once because you wouldn't be able to handle it. But he gives it precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. That's how you learned on your job. They didn't give it to you all the time. They didn't tell you how to fix the whole system. They tell you how to fix one thing. And then they let you work on that. And then when you get good at that, then they give you another piece. And then when you get good at that, and then after a while, you've learned the whole system. But if they came in and required you to do all the whole thing from A to Z, you would not do it. You would fail. But they give you one precept. Every day you learn a new precept. You learn a new fact. You learn a new thought. And so you precept, you learn this precept, and then the next day they give you another one. Okay, put that, what you learned yesterday, put it with this one. Put this line on top of this line. Here a little bit, there a little bit, and eventually you get the whole thing. That's how God instructs us of his ways. He gives us precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little bit, and there a little bit. He gives his truth to us as we're able to assimilate it and put it together. The more we desire to know, the more he opens up to us. If you don't desire to know nothing, then God's not going to open it up and show it to you. But the more eager we are to learn his ways, Moses here wanted to know his ways, so he was eager. He asked God, he prayed, he pleaded, God, show me your ways. And so are we eager to know God's ways? The more we want to learn about God, the more we want to know his ways, the more we start to investigate, then that's the more he'll show it to us. The more he'll open up, and then you all of a sudden say, man, why can I see this now that I couldn't see yesterday? Because you have a desire to learn. You have a desire to want to do it. Those people, you know, you work with people and they wonder why they can't never get nothing. You know, the folk on the job, they've been doing something for years and they still can't get it. They're like, man, you've been doing this for years. How come you didn't get it? Because they don't want to get it. The truth be told, when it comes down to it, they don't want to get it. They want to come in there, they act like it. Just because they come to work and show up every day don't mean they have a desire to want to get it, that they have a desire to want to get better. Just like we know all our students that show up to school don't have a desire to learn. They don't. We work with them anyway, but they don't all have that desire to learn. Some of them do, and when we know it, we go, okay, you want to learn. You want to do it. And so with God, we have to have a desire. And the more we have a desire, the more this starts to unlock our ability to learn, the more God reveals to us. So our ignorance of God's ways is a reason why we need to really learn his ways, because we were not born with it. We didn't come into the church with it. And so when we come into the church, we come in to learn his ways. And we're going to learn it little bit by little bit as we, and God will reveal it as we can assimilate it. We also want to learn his ways because we are like the children of Israel. We're very similar to the children of Israel. We bear a striking similarity to the children of Israel when they came out of Egyptian bondage. The book of Exodus tells the story of Israel's deliverance from 400 years of bondage and slavery in Egypt. God had set them free and had taken them unto himself as a people, but they were a people with a major problem and that God was going to have to deal with. The children of Israel had some major problems. We look at Numbers 11:45 as a reference. We see in Numbers 11:45, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who shall give us flesh to eat?" We remember the fish that we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Here in Numbers, they were lusting after those things that they got down in Israel. All of the Israelites had been born in Egypt. All those Israelites that came out into the desert with Moses, they were all born in Egypt. Egypt's lifestyle had molded their lives. They had learned Egypt's ways of life. They had learned their language. They had learned their patterns of thinking. They thought like Egyptians. They ate like Egyptians. They acted like Egyptians. You remember that old pop song, say, "Walk like an Egyptian"? Well, that's the children of Israel. They walked like Egyptians. They did everything. They had an Egyptian, Egypt mentality and a slave mindset because they had been slaves. God had delivered them out of Egypt, and now he was going to have to take Egypt out of them. So it wasn't enough that God physically removed them from Egypt, because they were out in the desert. Guess what? They still had Egypt in them. Because at the moment of adversity, God was providing for their needs, giving them manna. But in Numbers 11, they were still wanting what? Well, we want the fish. We want the leeks. We want the watermelons. We want the melons. We want the onions that we ate. But do you know that food, yeah, it was good, but guess where it was at? It was back in bondage. Now you're here. So they would rather sacrifice and go back into bondage so they could get that food that was making them comfortable, that they enjoy, rather than to stay in the desert and keep heading toward that which would make them free. They had a desire. So we like them are sometimes like that. The people of Israel needed their thinking changed. God was going to have to retrain and re-educate them out of Egypt's ways to his ways. Israel must learn that they are what God says they are now and not what Egypt said they were then. Egypt said what? You a slave. And that's all you're going to be. You a slave. But God was taking them out of Egypt, out of bondage, to say, "You are my people. I'm going to raise you up. I'm going to make you my people. I'm going to make you something special. You're going to be more than a slave." But they had to get over it. They still had a slave mentality. And so they fall back into times where they wanted to go back there to get some of the things they thought they missed. Israel must learn that they are what God says they are now. It was important that they be introduced to the laws and principles of God that he expected them to live by as his people in Canaan. And so that's what's going on in the desert. That's what he's doing in the desert. He gave them the Ten Commandments. He's giving them his laws. He's giving his precepts. And he's also pruning them people. Because of their iniquity, he allowed them to wander in the desert for 40 years until everyone that was born in Egypt died in the desert. So those that were able to go into Canaan land were all those except Joshua and Caleb. Joshua were those that were able to go into promised land. The rest of them died in iniquity. So what went into the promised land was the new generation that grew up and were born in the desert. But all those that came out of Egypt, they couldn't go because they had an Egypt mentality. They had a slave mentality. They wouldn't let God re-educate their minds. And so we need to realize that we are like the children of Israel. When we come into the Lord's church, that we are like them, that even though we now have come into the body of Christ, that we've been taken out of the world. We said we've come out of darkness into his marvelous light. Yeah, we've come out of the world, but guess what? Some of the world is still in us. So we've come out of the world, but now that we're in the church, we got to re-educate our minds, retrain, learn God's ways so that we can get the world out of us. Because we still have the world in us. We still sometimes, we want to walk in their paths. We want to talk their language. We want to wear their clothes. We want to dress the way they dress. We want to subscribe to all the things. You know, we want to see if we can do still do those things that the world's doing and still do some of what Christ would have us to do. And it's not going to work. We got to let God re-educate our minds and retrain us to want and desire. And see, like Philippians say, God's word will give you the power to desire to do what he would have you to do. But you've got to get in his word. The reason why you don't completely want to do what you what God would have you to do, because you don't have no desire. You don't desire to do what God wants you to do. So we have to learn. We have to be re-educated. We have to be trained, because we're like the children of Israel. We got some similarities to them. They were taken out, and the children of Israel, the desert represents sin. He took them out in that desert. The Egyptian bondage represents sin for us. He took them out of bondage, and Christ, he's taken out of bondage to sin. We're slaves of sin. Paul talked about in that Romans 6 that we're no longer slaves of sin. We're no longer under bondage. We don't have to live. He's freed us from the bondage of slavery and sin. He's taken us out of that, and he's made us free. But sometimes we still want to live like slaves. We still want to go back into the world. We think it's fun to go and do some of those things in the world, even though it's putting us back into bondage and slavery to Satan and all that. Now he's taken us. He's freed us. He's trying to get us out of that, just like the Lord was doing with the children of Israel. He's trying to lead them to a new place. Hey, I got something new for you. It's land flowing with milk and honey. Everything you need is going to be there. But yet, and still in the midst of the desert, they still saying, oh, we still remember the stuff we had back in Egypt. So we need to get Egypt out of us and let the Lord help retrain and educate us. Also, we need to learn his ways, because we come into the house like children that need training and discipline in the ways of God. When your children come into your house, do they know what to do? Do children naturally know what we want them to do? They got to be trained. They got to be disciplined. And that's our job as parents, to train and discipline our children in the house. And so with us as children of God, we need to be trained and disciplined to understand God's ways. Go to Hebrews 12, 5 and 6. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, he says, and ye have forgot the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thy chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Hebrews 12, 5 through 6. So Jesus is letting us know through the word of God and the writer of the Hebrew letter. He says, don't forget the exhortation which speaketh to you like children. My son, despise not thy chastening of the Lord. Don't despise it. Don't look down at him. I know a lot of times in life, or when we were kids growing up, we looked down. We might have despised that chastening. But years later, we can look back and say, thank you for it. How many of us have gone back and thanked our parents for the chastening and for the scourging that we got? Because what? It maybe kept us out of trouble, kept us from some danger. So we couldn't appreciate it when we were children, but we can appreciate it as adults that our parents took the time. So don't, the Bible says, don't despise the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked. How many times do we faint when we rebuke? We don't want to be rebuked. How many like to be rebuked? We don't like to be rebuked. We don't like rebuking. The scripture says that it's profitable for rebuke, but sometimes we need to grow to the point where we can handle rebuke, that we can appreciate rebuke, especially when it's coming from the Lord. We need to appreciate when that rebuke is coming from the Lord. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth. And so sometimes I'll kid around and I tell my children, say, I guess I don't love you. What you mean, Dad? Because I ain't chasing and rebuking you. If I scourge you, that means I love you. If I'm just letting you go and let you do your thing, that must mean I don't love you. When other parents get on their kids, maybe they love them more than I love you, because they willing to get on their kids. Because the Lord says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourge us. And so we learn that when the Lord takes the time to chasten and scourge us, that he loves us, every son whom he receiveth. I've heard stories about players on football teams, and they get so down, you know, why is the coach always yelling at me? He's yelling at me, and why is the coach always yelling? And he don't like me. And there was one player was talking, and the coach's wife had to come by, and she goes, don't worry about when he's yelling at you. She said, you need to be concerned if he stopped yelling at you. And so he said, oh, okay. So he learned to look at it different. She said, don't worry about when he's yelling at you. You need to be concerned when he stops yelling at you. That means you off. So we need to appreciate when people take the time to scourge us and to chase us, because they're helping us to get better. When they stop doing that means they probably don't believe in us anymore. That means if they let you just go your own way, if the Lord just let us go our own way and do our own thing and left us to our own devices, that means he don't love us. But when the Lord loves us, he said, whom he loveth, he chasteneth, he scourges, because he wants us to be better. He wants us to learn his ways. He wants us to learn his characters. So that's why he takes the time to chasten us and to discipline us. We just not to faint at his rebuke. Don't faint when you get rebuked. Sometimes we faint. Oh, y'all just own me. No, don't faint when you rebuke. Look at it and see where the Lord is trying to chasten us and trying to scourge us to help us to become what we need to do. Moses asked the question. He said, Lord, let me learn thy ways. He wanted to know his ways. We see that there was a difference between him and the children of Israel. He was able to learn God's ways. The children of Israel just learned his acts, as we saw in Psalms 103 and 7. And we see the difference. We see that Moses had a little more intimate connection with the Lord because he knew his character. He knew his ways. Where the children of Israel just knew his act. But thank God, now that we're in the church, we can do both. Now in the church, we can not only know the acts of God because we can read about him in the scriptures, but we can know his ways as well, because he's revealed it to us. And the more we study, not only can we know the acts, but we need to know the ways. We need to know both levels. Not only do we know what God does and what God has done, but we need to understand God's character and his holiness, his righteousness, what God will do for us. We need to let ourselves be re-educated. We need to let our minds be renewed, need to be retrained every day. Here a little bit. It's not going to all come at once. Sometimes we want to see the whole picture. Here a little bit, there a little bit. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Let God re-educate us every day to learn his ways. And when we learn his ways, then we're able to walk in his paths. Learning his ways allows us to walk the way he would want us to walk in his paths, understand his precepts, understand his promises. God has promised us some great things, but we can't get to it unless we know his ways, unless we appreciate his character, unless we're willing to walk in the path of righteousness. The 23rd Psalms, he said, you know, that we walk in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He will be with us. He'll lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. And he will, wherever we're at, he's always with us. His rod and staff does comfort us. So knowing his ways means we can walk in his path. You can't walk in the right path if you don't know the way. If you don't know the way, you don't appreciate the Lord, appreciate the ways, appreciate his character, then you can't walk in his path. You won't have a desire to walk in his path and do things the way he wants you to do it, because you'll always have a tendency to want to fall back on your own ways. But we learned this morning from Proverbs, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is destruction. So Jesus said, your ways are my ways. You don't know the way, so we just have to resign. Give in to the fact that we don't know the way, we don't know the path, we don't know what's best. David said, Lord, order my steps. Order my steps. Let God order your steps. Let the Lord lead the way. Let him educate you. Let him teach you. Let him show you his ways. Pray for the Lord. Lord, show me your way. Just show me your way so that I can walk in your path. This afternoon, the lesson is yours. We need to know the way of God like Moses wanted to know the way of God. Not just a surface level, observational level, but we need to have a deep level. Not only of know what his works are, but to know his ways. And so if you've not walked according to his ways, if you got out of line with his ways, and you can come back and get back in line with his ways and ask the Lord to help you to learn his precepts and to value them and appreciate, like the psalmist said, I appreciate and value or esteem that every way of the Lord is right. That's the first thing you got to do. You got to accept that everything he says is right. Now, everything I say may not be right. Everything Brother John say may not be right, so don't listen to us.
but we don't listen to God because everything he says is right. It's absolute. It's 100%. It's on the money. Well, as we said this morning, you can test it. You can try it. You can flip it every way. It's still good. If he tell you something today, you can walk away. Come back tomorrow. It's still going to be good. It ain't got you got to accept it now. If you don't accept it now, come back tomorrow. It's still going to be good. His invitation to come and to be saved is good today. It's still good tomorrow. He's not going to, he don't have one way today and another way tomorrow. He don't have one interest rate today and another interest rate tomorrow. It's good. It's always good. And you can test it. Try his way. Try your way. Guaranteed. If you keep living, you're going to come back and say, let me do his way. Because your way is not going to work. So we need to learn God's ways. If you're subject to the invitation anyway, if you're outside the body of Christ, you need to come back and you can hear that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins. Believe that he died for your sins. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ. Be baptized. If you need prayer so that you can walk in his way, walk in his pathways, we give you that opportunity now as we begin.
Well,